Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about how we can foster leadership and growth in our children. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Danielle Cobo. And she is a leadership coach with over 14 years of sales experience and even has led some Fortune 500 companies. So I'm very excited to have her on today to teach us all about fostering leadership and really growing the future leaders right here. That's our job as parents. I'm super happy to have her here. Thank you for being here, Danielle.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on today's show. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to start off with, why is it important for parents to know about emotional intelligence? Because that's really what we're going to be talking about today, is emotional intelligence and how that fosters the leadership that we want our kids to have.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And there are studies out there that say that kids with high emotional intelligence, or even adults with high emotional intelligence, tend to succeed more in life than those that don't have a high EQ. It's EQ. And so when we are aware of our emotions, when we're aware of how we are in social settings and how we can manage our emotions, when you're able to do that, that's when you get to really show up as a leader in life and in who you are as a person. And so having a high level of emotional intelligence is extremely important for us to develop and support our kids with now and in the long term.
And let's define emotional intelligence so that our audience can be on the same page and we really know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So having a high level emotional intelligence is really understanding your emotions. And so not only understanding, so if you're feeling something along the lines of you're feeling kind of butterflies in your stomach, what that may mean to me may be different than somebody it means to somebody else. And so when you're able to identify what your emotions are, as well as what your triggers are, each of us have triggers, something that maybe kind of sparks either anxiety or frustration or impatience. When you're able to identify what the emotion is, what the triggers are, then you're able to support yourself in how you're going to manage those emotions or how you're going to react to those emotions when you're around other people. So it's important to know all different levels of emotional intelligence, not only from where you, the emotion you have inside, but also how you manage it and how you have those emotions in a social setting.
Now, emotional intelligence is going to be useful for all children and so many different parts of their life. I even have a behavior management program where that is really the essence of the program, where I'm teaching parents how to teach their children how to have that emotional intelligence, how to identify your triggers, how to identify those feelings that where they're sitting inside your body so that they can not only understand where it's coming from, but then start to control it. But it's going to help them with more than anger management and anxiety management and stresses at school and all those things. You're telling us it's going to be big for leadership. Is that correct?
Yes, it's big for leadership because take it a step further. So if you understand different triggers and how they trigger emotions for you, and then you're able to shift your mind out of that. So for example, if something triggers you to be insecure about something and you're going, okay, wow, I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling like I can't accomplish that goal and I'm having some insecurities. If you're able to quickly identify what triggered it, why you're having those emotions, and then you have the tools to shift your mind, then you can really learn how to accomplish anything that you want in life. Because really what holds us back is a mindset. There's a lot that we can do as kids, as teenagers, as adults, when we shift our mind and we start to believe in ourselves and the confidence that we have deep down inside.
Oh, that makes perfect sense to me now that you take that learned knowledge of triggers and, you know, you just get to know your strengths so much more.
And when you're talking about, you know, communication and connection within a corporate setting, when you're able to be vulnerable, vulnerable is a very powerful in leadership. So when you're able to say, I'm feeling this and share your emotions, you're able to connect with somebody on a deeper level. And connection is what's fostering culture within organizations. Connection is what a great leader is represented for. Because if I want to translate vision into reality, I first need to earn the know, like, and trust from my team. So when we can teach our kids how to identify their emotions, how to communicate those emotions and be vulnerable with them, then you get to have that circle of people that are going to come around and support. And then you're connected with people on a deeper level. So it plays in where we are as our kids at an early age through every aspect of our life, even through adulthood. And so it's up to us to teach our kids these skill sets so that the future generation is the generation of leaders.
How do we do that? How do parents support kids in developing this high emotional intelligence that you're talking about?
Great question, because that is where it can be a little challenging. The first step is identifying emotions. So really having open dialogue with your kids and saying, help me understand, how are you feeling that way? You know, what is contributing, not like, why are you feeling that way, but how are you feeling that way? What's contributing to those emotions? What do you feel? You know, what physical is emotions are you having? What physical and mental emotions are you having? Because emotions come out in various ways. Some people, when they have anxiety, they have sweaty hands, they get very flushed in the face. So it can be a combination of mental and physical. And so open up that dialogue. And I always say, what else? Because oftentimes the first thing that we say is a surface level. So if you're like, oh, well, I'm just not feeling it today, or I'm just kind of frustrated over this. Dig deeper. Always ask three more times, well, what else? What else? What else? Because typically the third thing that they say is really the core of what's causing those emotions.
Oh, and I'm sure parents are identifying with that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have parents come home and said, how was your day? Fine. Or what did you do today? Fine. Nothing. And then we have to probe more. So yeah, we got to practice this. And it totally makes sense that it would transfer into emotional intelligence too. They're not going to come out and automatically tell us the core of what's bothering them. It's going to be surface level at first. And what I hear you saying is keep asking questions and don't make statements. So yes. If the statement will be coming from our thoughts and questions is how we're going to dig deeper. So how did that make you feel? What was going on? Was there something that you could have done differently? If you can do it again, you know, what would you change? Those are the kinds of questions that you want to start probing with your child so that they could start to understand their feelings and where they're coming from.
Yeah. And if there's situations where there's maybe a conflict at school, coaching them through that dialogue of how to approach that conflict. So taking it a step further and saying, okay, let's talk about, well, what if they said this? Let's anticipate three different scenarios when you're approaching this conversation, and let's talk through them ahead of time so that when you go through that conversation with that individual that there's a conflict with, we've kind of anticipated all the different scenarios, and we're empowering our kids with the tools to have those conversations, those crucial conversations of conflict and resolving them through. The other way that we can support our kids is acknowledging their emotions. I think a lot of times in previous generations, it was, you know, oh, don't cry, or, oh, you're okay, you know, just brush it off. And what that does is it creates this wall with kids where they feel like they can't express their emotions. And when kids can't express their emotions, then they bottle it up. And how that affects these kids in the long term when it comes to adulthood is sometimes they have a hard time communicating. They have a hard time connecting. And a lot of times when they're not able to communicate their emotions, whether it's sad or something like that, it comes out in anger. And so let's provide our kids a safe space to be able to express their emotions and acknowledge them for it and say, you know what? I appreciate your vulnerability. I appreciate and acknowledge you for sharing this with me. And then you get to kind of talk them through it, but let's acknowledge emotions. Emotions are good. They're powerful. And now more than ever, there's more studies coming out that's talking about vulnerability and leadership and how it can sometimes be like the best characteristic in some of our top leaders.
And I love the sentiment of it that no emotion is wrong. You don't want to do it. You're validating their feelings. You may think it's ridiculous that your child feels a certain way, but we're not going to say that out loud. So as
parents, no, you know, yeah, there's always that girl that comes home and, you know, my boyfriend broke my heart. And, you know, we're going, oh yeah, well, this is going to pass. But if we don't put the same attention into what they're feeling right now, they're going to feel dismissed. They're going to feel like their feelings aren't validated. So let's validate their feelings and really acknowledge them. We may not agree with them, but let's at least acknowledge them because that is how they're feeling right now. And the vice versa, there's going to be things that we get super angry about. And our kids are looking at us like, are you crazy? You're mad that I didn't make my bed. And I'm like, yeah, make your bed. You know, so we all experience emotions towards different things. It's just acknowledging them.
Well, I'm sure there's other ways that we can support our kids, not only with emotional intelligence, but also cultivating these leaders. So what else can parents do?
Excellent question. So when we get to shift our language, it really sets the tone on how we approach life. So one example might be, what do we have to do versus what we get to do? So if we're constantly telling our kids, oh, I have to go to work. I have to go to work. Does that sound like something that's exciting to do? Or are they going to grow up going, I don't want to grow up. I want to be a kid forever. Now, I understand not all of us love our jobs, right? But we get to do that. We're very blessed. The fact that we get to go to work, that we get to pay bills, that we get to go grocery shopping are actually luxuries because not everybody has those things. So shifting your language from what I have to do versus what I get to do can be very powerful. So when I put my kids to bed at night, I say, guess what? I get to wake up with you in the morning. And I'm so excited because I get to have breakfast with you in the morning. They're seen as important. Some other ways that we can shift our language is saying words such as support versus help. So when you say something like, I'm helping you, it's almost implying that they can't do it. Now, there are certain things that they can't do depending on the age, they won't be able to. So I'm going to help them. Or what I can say is, can I support you? So in the sense of, can I support you to pick up your toys? And now it's to the point where my kids say support too, because we don't really use the word help. I'm empowering them that they can do it on their own. I'm also saying, you know, I'm happy to support you through this and we can work through it together. We can do this together. Let's approach it as a team. So that's another way. And then changing the way that how often we use no. As parents, it's really easy for us to say no all the time. You know, we kind of try to keep these boundaries, you know, because we're trying to keep our kids safe and happy. But can we shift the way that we say it in saying yes? So yes, we can do this and you need to eat your dinner first. So yes, you can watch a TV show, and yes, you get to watch a movie or you get to eat dinner first. So try to lead with yes as much as we can. And then you shift and say what they get to do first. So that way you're also involving them in that decision-making process. You're enrolling them in whatever you're asking them to do. And you're always leading with yes.
One thing I want to point out to parents as I'm listening to you, and I love this because how we speak to our children is so influential. It is so impactful on how they receive the information. So this is wonderful suggestions. And it starts with us role modeling the have to thing that you were talking about. I have to go and do this. That's a role modeling thing that we as parents need to start shifting our own mindset about, being a little bit more conscious about it, because it does. It throws out a message to our kids that I'm doing this and this is, I don't like it. And we don't want our kids to feel like whatever profession they pick in the future, it has to be horrible, or that we as parents don't like what our job is. And maybe we don't like what our job is, but that negativity sits inside the household. So the leadership starts with us and role modeling how to be a good leader for within our family. And then the second thing I want to just point out that you were talking about is then moving that language to your children and speaking to them with this language, not just role modeling it in your home to everything from what you say on the phone to what you say to maybe your partner or a friend, but also how you speak to your child so that they can pick up on those nuances and start to shift their own mindset without even knowing it, because it'll just become second nature, which is awesome. And that's how we start to cultivate these awesome leaders. So shifting a few words can change the outcome of how they're going to perceive the world. And it doesn't really matter what age your child is. You can start implementing these quick tips today. It works very well with teenagers to lead with yes, because they're so tired of hearing no. Everybody tells kids no all day long. By the time they're a teenager, they're kind of just bitter about the whole word no. Like, no, I can't do this. No, I can't do that. It's exhausting to them. They're just like, well, what can I do? And that's when you start seeing rebellion, because they want to have a little bit of control over their own life, really. And so when you lead with yes, parents, you are saying, you have power in what's going to happen here. You have power over your environment. Yes, you can go out with your friends if you clean your room first. Yes, you can go out with your friends. Please clean your room first, and then you can go. The language shifts instead of, no, you can't go out with your friends because you haven't cleaned your room. Completely different type of sentiment, right, parents? So that's the point I'm trying to reiterate, because Danielle has some great tips here, and that's how you're going to implement them into your household so that you can be really an impactful parent. And Danielle, tell me, if people are listening to this and they're resonating with what you're saying, how can they find more?
More. So you can find more information. I am on pretty much every social media site out there. So LinkedIn, as well as Instagram and Facebook, Danielle Cobo, so COBO. And then also I have a website, daniellecobo.com, where I actually host leadership trainings for corporations and individuals. And it's really exciting to be part of, you know, supporting our future generation of leaders.
It is. I'm so happy that you are here today. Parents, go check out Danielle if you have more questions, if you have something that you want for your own corporate world and office. Her leadership skills are amazing. Go check her out. And until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.